Okay, suppose you have two friends. They're close friends. They're people you rely on, but they don't get along with each other. That is the awkward reality for the United States in East Asia. Its troops help defend both Japan and South Korea. The U.S. also depends on both to help confront threats, including China and North Korea, which launched another missile just today.
Now the leaders of Japan and South Korea have agreed to begin regular visits, and at a summit today, they resolved a trade dispute.
NPR's Anthony Kuhn lives in Seoul and often travels to Tokyo, so he is the person to show us why this meeting matters. Hey there, Anthony.
Hey, Steve.
What makes this relationship hard?
Well, one sign of it is that the leaders of these two countries have not had a bilateral meeting in each other's capitals in 12 years. They've met at multilateral meetings, but not face-to-face in a bilateral setting. And so they're going to try to normalize ties that we could say have been at their worst point in decades. But as you pointed out, they also have a lot in common. They have these festering historical disputes. But, for example, young people are not that aware of the history. They're very much into each other's music, K-pop and J-pop and movies and food. And to them, looking ahead to the future and ramping up exchanges is just a no-brainer.
And I guess when we say the history, we should mention that Japan held South Korea, all of Korea actually, as a colonial possession for a long time. And it was a brutal occupation. So that's part of the history here, part of the tension. What broke the ice?
Well, yes, it was this historical dispute about Koreans who were forced to work for Japan during World War II, and South Korea's Supreme Court in 2018 ordered Japanese companies to compensate the forced laborers, but the companies refused because they said the issue was already settled when the countries normalized their ties in 1965. So the two governments tried to reach an agreement, and they couldn't, so South Korea offered to compensate the laborers through a Korean foundation. But the three surviving laborers themselves want to be compensated by Japan, not by South Korea. They want Japan to apologize. Japan will only restate past apologies.
This is all about three surviving laborers. Is that what you said?
That's right. All quite aged, so there's not a lot of time left to work on this issue.
But of course, the symbolism is far more than three people. So what does Japan still need to do?
Well, Japan has to do a little bit less because South Korea made the first move. Public opinion in Japan is a little bit better, and Japan is just not giving up that much. But Prime Minister Fumio Kishida needs to be shown to be doing something to reciprocate. South Korea's President Yoon has a little bit more to do. He has to address the criticism that in his eagerness to make nice with Tokyo and Washington, he's selling out the interests of the Korean victims. Let's hear how Kim Se-eun, who's a lawyer for the victims, put it to reporters this week. She's saying that this case is not simply about money. It's a claim to compensation by victims who suffered serious human rights violations. Compensation is money given to console someone who suffered damages that cannot be repaired with money, but has no other way. So she explained for that reason, the debt to these forced labor victims is not one that just anybody can pay.
So what does this meeting of the two leaders mean for the United States?
Well, the Biden administration claims that Asia is their priority and they're going to work through its allies. And they've been nudging these allies to set aside their disputes and focus on security issues, such as the intercontinental ballistic missile that North Korea launched just hours before the summit. South Korea's President Yoon will head to Washington next month for a state visit with Biden. And if he can show Biden that he is delivering something that Washington has really wanted, then that could win him some political capital.
NPR's Anthony Kuhn in Seoul. Anthony, thanks as always for your insights. Be well.
Thank you, Steve.